fighting for America.
We've got to move away from what our Labor Secretary Tom Perez calls a train and pray approach. We train them and we pray that they can get a job.
Fighting for Idaho.
There's a lot of power in family. There's a lot of power in faith, and there's a lot of power in freedom. Christians and conservatives need to no longer be afraid, because we are the majority. We just happen to be the silent majority.
Fighting for you.
The Bible says we should pray without ceasing, and I think God meant it when he said it. Even if it's just a quick, fast popcorn prayer, as we used to say years ago, prayer is the key to a life of peace and hope.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
Amen.
On 580 KIDL, Idaho's first radio station.
And good morning, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDL. We're joined by Julie Lindy of the Cornerstone Family Council about families, about life, about liberty. Julie, thank you for joining us once again.
Good morning. It's great to be here, Kevin. Thanks.
Good to have you with us here. And one of the things that I would love to talk to you about is the state of the culture that we live in today. And look, some of us have these decadent yet somewhat delicious pleasures of watching some of these shows on television that would make the fawns blush, if you will. Is that having an impact on our popular culture and how we relate to one another these days, in your opinion?
I love that you're having this conversation, Kevin, because that's not talked about enough. The culture actually does drive the courts, I believe. And I think that when kids are inundated with television and internet and theater and movies and music and music videos and then the things that you see with Miley Cyrus and Justin Bieber, it dumbs down the view of what's normal, and it dumbs down the traditional morality, and it hurts an ability to be in a cohesive society.
Well, and we see that today. And I suppose that we're so inundated with things that it becomes the norm. And
right.
An example, when you have men kissing men or women kissing women. And to me, I don't want to see that. It's a shock value to me. And yet, whether it's The Amazing Race or Will and Grace or Modern Family, we see it, and then we look at the millennials, sorry for the run-up for this question, that are more progressive than we are, well, because they've been exposed to this stuff, right?
Right, and it's not that they've been exposed making them broader thinkers. It's that they've been exposed making them more narrow thinkers, because it desensitizes a person to something that we innately know is not quite right. You even look at the title of the TV program, Will and Grace. I think that was intentional. When you look at the people have free will, yet by the grace of God, we are able to do many things. And by the grace of God, we are not, we don't get the consequence all the time that we deserve. But free will often is rooted in pride. And so the name of the program, Will and Grace, was always intriguing to me, because I thought it was a bit of a subtle in your face, if you were.
Right, and we see that today, and we even see that here in Idaho. And when we take a look at you and your group, and everybody talks about tolerance, but I'd like to expose a few things about you, that you go out and you speak of these issues, traditional American values, faith, family, and freedom, and some of the stuff that has been said about you, that has been written about you, certainly on the small scale, we'll call intolerant and unacceptable, and something that is never reported.
Absolutely. One of the things about conservatives, and I think one of the things about Christians as well, is we just hunker down and we just say, you know what, this is part of life, I can handle it, and we don't complain and we don't demonize. And what happens is it puts us back on our heels in a way, because the other folks can boldly stand up and speak out, because they're not worried about having somebody post their picture and their home phone number on Facebook and urging people all over the world to contact them and say hateful things about them and threaten them to the point where a police report has to be filed. So they boldly do that because they know that we will not respond the same way that they do. The word tolerance to them only, in my opinion anyway, only means that they will tolerate what we believe or what others believe only insofar as they agree with it. After that, all bets are off, and then it's the guy with the biggest fist or the biggest gun.
580-543-3636, 580-KIDO, if you have a question concerning what to do. So, Julie, you're out on the front lines. You're doing these things. You're fighting the good fight. You're keeping the faith. Sometimes you take a look as conservatives, as religious people, we look at ourselves and say, you know, we've lost the cultural wars. What can we do?
Kevin, I'm not willing to say that we've lost the culture wars. I think we are probably in damage control in the culture wars. But I do believe that there's a lot of power in family. There's a lot of power in faith, and there's a lot of power in freedom. And I do think that this is a different space and time where people have to stand up and speak out, because we are the majority. We just happen to be the silent majority. And we do need to speak out and take stewardship and ownership of our culture. And we need to do so in love, but we need to do it firmly.
Let's talk about some of the big stories here. You've got the CEO stepping down because of his contributions to Prop 8, correct? Mm-hmm. Can you give us some details of that story? Unfortunately, we really didn't get a chance to cover that. We've been covering some local issues here. And then there are allegations that I want to get into. But if you could give us a little background on this story and give us your thoughts on it here at 580KIDO.
I don't know the ins and outs of that story too well, but the CEO of Mozilla, I believe it is, or Firefox, gave $1,000 is all, years ago, to support Prop 8 in California, which was the traditional marriage vote in California. And he became the CEO of Mozilla, and there was this firestorm of controversy, and he was demonized and drummed out of his job for $1,000 donation, which is his free personal political free speech. He did that offline. He did that not during the job. He wasn't speaking as the CEO of anything. He did that as his personal free speech. But the gay rights activists would have none of it. And they are trying, I believe, to demonize people to a point where even if someone has not had the audacity to donate to a political campaign or an initiative, we will all think twice, because the same thing will happen to us. This unintended consequence that's really a consequence that we all wind up being afraid, and that's what I was speaking to earlier. Christians and conservatives need to no longer be afraid.
Andrew Sullivan calls it the gay mafia.
I read that story, and he's got it kind of right. Andrew Sullivan is a person who I would probably rarely agree with. Because
smart guy, but
super smart.
Well, he's a gay man and he's proud of it, and he expresses his views and from that point of view. But he did speak on it, and please expand on this, that there is a gay mafia in his opinion, and if you cross the gay mafia, you're intolerant, you're this, you're that, you're everything that they accuse the conservatives of being.
What I appreciate about that article by Andrew Sullivan, although he supports same-sex marriage and a lot of these other things we've talked about, he's really staying true to what he began his career speaking about, which was respect and allowing people to have their belief system and not be demonized for it. And he is seeing that those who agree with him on the issues disagree with him on the method, and they are demonizing people. It's a form of fascism in my mind, and I like the term gay mafia as well, because it's a demonization that seeks to silence any kind of conversation that disagrees with them. And that's why on the other program that you and I were on with Matt Williams, when we talked about the marriage case in Idaho, the conversation was, you know, can there be people that get into a room and have an agreement and come to an agreement? And while individuals could have that conversation, the problem is once we sit down together, there is not really an emphasis on the issue as much as there is an emphasis on demonizing, name-calling, and trying to completely avoid the topic and make it so painful for people to have the discussion where we disagree with the quote-unquote gay mafia that we all just shut up and go home.
Well, and we see that at 580 KIDO. We see this with the local effort from the Add the Words campaign. We will coming up with former State Senator Nicola Favor. She will be in, and we'll have an exchange of ideas. And one of these points, I will ask her about the gay mafia. I will ask her about Idaho. And look, we may agree to disagree, but we're always going to be respectful. But your thoughts on the Add the Words effort, did they help themselves?
Kevin, I don't know if they helped themselves. I don't know how that community functions. I think that in terms of internally helping themselves, I think Nicole probably rallied folks. I think that part of what was going on at the end of that campaign during the legislative session was on their Facebook page, they kept saying, you know, we're making headway. The chairman is telling us X, Y, and Z. The speaker is telling us X, Y, and Z. It turned out that those rallying cries that said, we're almost there, we've almost got the votes, were completely fabricated. And the only thing I could take away from that was that maybe it was not to undermine anything, but it was sort of a cheerleading attempt to say, you know, to keep people interested, to keep people excited, and to keep the Add the Words folks coming down to the Capitol. There were some things that happened down there that were just not right. Committee hearings being held on important issues. There were other issues besides Add the Words.
Well, and again, at 580 KIDO, and we'll continue this on in the 8 o'clock hour, but one final point. It seems to me that it's a very emotional issue, and you know, dealing with the legislature, dealing with other things, emotion is part of it, but you can't have emotion supersede the law.
Exactly. And you can't have emotion writing law or creating legal things that are going to impact generations. What was happening was people were losing sight of the fact that there were logical consequences to, quote unquote, adding gender identity and sexual orientation, adding the words to the Human Rights Code. There are logical consequences that really need to be vetted. We really need to look at what will happen if we do this, not how will we feel if we do this, not how will we be perceived if we do this. A lot of folks would say, well, isn't that the loving thing to do? Well, the loving thing to do is to treat people with respect and honor. But creating a certain law may not be the most loving thing to do because the logical consequence of doing that could be completely detrimental.
We continue on. Julie Lindy with us here, Cornerstone Family Council. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO. We'll talk a little bit more about marriage and same-sex marriage and the attack that the courts have had on legal, constitutionally passed amendments by the people of America. And what that means for the future when we're talking faith, family.
Getting more done before sunrise than anyone. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Up 580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Phone number is 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com. Back to faith, family, and freedom. Julie Lindy is our guest, and we're talking about a variety of issues here. She's from the Cornerstone Family Council. And, you know, when we're talking of values, when we're talking about making a difference in the lives of your children, your family, and everything else, obviously, we don't get that a lot in other places. We don't get that anymore. Heck, talk shows don't even talk about conservative issues. Let's get to this issue involving how concerned are you about the state of marriage today in our country when, thanks to the losers on the Supreme Court, Prop 8 was sent back to the lower court. So those people that did everything right constitutionally in liberal progressive California passed a law identifying marriage in the traditional way. And since then, we've had states from Utah to New Mexico to other places, and even in Idaho, start putting a hit on traditional marriage. What's the future?
Kevin, that's a great question. And earlier in the program, I was saying that the culture rules the courts, which is unfortunate because in an ideal world, the courts would sit on the firm ground of law. And so I don't know what the state of marriage is in the country. one of the things that conservatives as well as Christians have done wrong, frankly, is over the last 50-100 years, we forgot to teach our children what marriage really is. What's the real purpose of marriage? And so when it started getting redefined to mean anything and everything, our kids didn't have any really firm ground to stand on. And I'm not criticizing any of the prior generations or mine either, because it just seemed like marriage is, was, and always will be. And who would have dreamed that we'd be talking about this? Who would have dreamed that we would even be considering allowing a family to automatically, categorically deny a child either a mother or a father based on the whims and the wishes of the adults?
Another issue here at 580KIDO, polygamy. And we see it going on in Utah, and we see these, again, pardon my rudeness, these idiots led by Cody Brown with sister wives, and now the other slappy with my five wives, claiming faux persecution for breaking the law and going to the courts, and actually they had a court agree with them that polygamy infringed on their rights, throwing out marriage in Utah.
Right. And when the same-sex marriage advocates started beating this drum about we deserve to marry whomever we love, and those of us would say, you redefine marriage to mean what it is not. It will become anything. And they said that was ridiculous, that there was a place that marriage needed to belong. There was a stopping point for what they required for marriage. But that was just a relativistic view, because that's what the polygamy couples have claimed. They based their court battle, from what I understand, on the Supreme Court DOMA and Prop 8 decision. And when marriage became that it did no longer was man-woman traditional marriage, it pretty much became anything.
580KIDO, let's go to another issue. This whole case involving men taking time off for births, for lack of maternity leave. I guess it would be, maternity leave for men. And you have this issue involving Boomer Esiason saying, well, a big announcer who has done wondrous things for his child who has a disease, really a great guy. And he said something unfortunate concerning a New York Mets player that wanted to take a couple more days off for maternity leave. And what does it say about our culture? Are men finally getting their priorities in the right place, that they want to expand these benefits? I have a member of my family that's going to take advantage of the time off. They view work a little differently than I do. But what did you think of this big brouhaha concerning men staying home with the kids when the wife gives birth?
That's really an interesting interchange that occurred with Boomer Esiason, because we all know that there's great value in dads being involved in their children's lives. It matters so much. And when women are expecting, they are very excited when their husband is just super jazzed about the whole experience and really wants to be a part of it. So I think that men really have a right to be a part of the process to the degree that they can. Women are the only ones that are gifted to be pregnant and give birth. It's a wonderful thing. As far as Boomer Esiason's comments go, he could have probably said that a little gentler and kinder, but it speaks to two different sides of the culture's role, the man-woman role in the family. He was sort of speaking, in my opinion, he was sort of speaking to get out there and make the money for your family, buddy, and let your wife do what she's supposed to do. And that's the, you know, the 40s, 50s husband. And he was speaking to another man-woman role where the man was saying, look, I want to be involved in this.
Indeed. I guess to be continued when we're talking about this. Anything that you would like to let folks know what you're up to?
You know, we are in the process of continuing to look at protecting religious freedom in Idaho. House Bill 427 last year that just protected every Idahoan from government coercion was very important, and we'll continue to look at how to handle that. And the other thing that we're trying to do is let people know the truth about this issue, as well as about people that are promoting this issue. It's very important to understand that religious freedom comes from God. It doesn't come from the state.
Julie Lindy, we appreciate it. We always ask people to check out your great organization, Cornerstone Family Council, protecting faith, family, and freedoms here in the Treasure Valley and across the country. You're listening to 580 KIDO.
Sean Hannity, weekday afternoons at 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men,
men, men, men, men, manly men.
Men, 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 manly men, men, men.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning, only... few more days left before our old friend Maggie O'Mara's back in Morning Drive. I mean, Doug does a good job, Dave, but I'm sure you're happy to have Maggie back.
Yeah, I think Maggie's going to come visit you Monday morning at 8:30.
Really?
Yep, she'll be in studio.
In studio with Maggie?
Yeah, I don't know if she's bringing her 18 kids she has now or not.
Her 18 kids, her husband.
So Maggie will be in with you, I think, 8:30 Monday morning.
I'm already blushing.
Yeah, so that'll be good. She just wanted to stop by and see you before... She gets back in regular rotation with Channel 7.
Well, that's good. Now, are we going to put her? Are we going to sneak her in the back door? Because you know how this is. When you have somebody of prominence like Maggie, you're going to have Timmy, Willie, and Billy trying to get on the Maggie train.
Now, you know, I don't think so. You mean in the building?
Yes.
Oh, we aren't going to tell them she's going to be here.
Well, this show is the most listened to show in the building, from what I understand.
Oh, sure. You read the emails. They all love you.
I still haven't. But anyway, I have another one for you, Dave. You remember me because I'm a big star, correct?
Oh, you are a big deal.
I've made it in another book.
Another book? You made it in one book?
I've been in three or four books.
Well, huh.
No, not those type of books.
Not a bathroom reader, not that kind of book? You know which one I'm talking about, right?
No, I haven't written one either. No.
Oh, okay.
No, this is how goofy life is. I found out there was this new book about this subject that I covered back in the day. I go, and this is how full of ourselves we are in the broadcast business. And because it's Friday, it's Good Friday, with the exception of Dave Burnett, we're going to have a happy Manly Man segment.
Why me? What have I said this bad?
You haven't. I'm giving you a compliment. You're not full of yourself like everybody else.
Oh, I got you. Okay, I'm following you.
So I go to the bookstore, and I used to go to the bookstore all the time before I discovered Amazon.com, unfortunately. But I had to buy this book. My wife always laughs at me, goes, all you do is buy books. Well, yes, I try to, you know, put them next to my head through osmosis, try and get smarter. Well, anyway, there's a new book out about the Duke Lacrosse case.
Oh, sure.
And I go, I wonder if I'm in it. And so I run to the bookstore. I bugged the lady until I could find it. You know, most people, like the guy from CWI yesterday, he fixes snowmobiles. They go fly fishing. I go to a bookstore to look for a book to see if I'm in it.
Mm-hmm.
Right, yeah. I've got issues.
I'm thinking if you're checking all the books.
So I went there, and all of a sudden I was there, and there I was. Radio reporter Kevin Miller. I go, is there anything else? Oh, just a sentence.
Hmm.
Oh, well.
Did they spell your name right?
Yes. And it was just, you know, just one of those things.
Hmm.
Didn't really do anything. You know, people think when you go on the big national shows or that, your life changes and all, but it really doesn't.
No.
You have to keep your perspective.
You get done with them, it's like, that's it? Okay. Go home now. Yep. Go sit in a lazy boy and watch TV.
Speaking of a lazy boy, I just have a yearning, and I don't have a place for it, to get one of those Duck Dynasty lazy boys.
I don't know what that is.
I guess you get them at Cabela's is where they actually buy them. And it's basically a Lazy Boy recliner that is in camo, duck camo.
Oh, okay. Hmm. Why don't you have, oh, Mrs. Miller won't let you bring it in the house. I got you.
Yeah, I just
She's got good taste.
I just don't have any room for that, but I wish I did.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would do that. It just looks very comfortable.
Hmm.
See, this is, again, the exciting lives people in the media live. That's why we try very hard to talk about everybody but ourselves.
Yeah, that's why Monday, prepare. By the way, if you have a question you'd like to ask Maggie O'Mara, you can email that to Kevin Miller. That way he can ask about her exciting media life.
Enough of her.
Why?
This is going to be her glowing over me. That's what this segment's going to be.
Well, sure. Yeah.
You know, that'll be really good. Kevin, you're the best. No, Maggie, you're the best.
By the way, congratulations to good friend Kenny King. Winner of the Kenny King, legendary boxer from Idaho, has won the lottery.
Didn't he win like $1,000 or something like that?
$77,000.
Oh, 70. I was sitting there watching the Channel 7 thing, and it looked very disturbing because I had this guy, he was shaking his fist.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking to myself, why, he won the lottery. Is he Mike Tyson or something like that?
No,
that
great boxer. Great boxer, Kenny King. Surprised you didn't. Probably weren't into the welterweight boxing, were you?
I was into the middleweights.
Yeah. Kenny King, very, very successful, very good boxer, great man, good Christian man, and won the lottery, $77,000 he takes a check home for.
Huh.
So it just wasn't me. Darn it.
Well, what would you do with it?
It depends how much. If it was a lot of money, I would buy some stuff, and then I'd buy something to put the stuff in.
Hmm.
I'm thinking.
I see.
Mm-hmm. 77. That's the thing. If you win like $100,000, I mean, that would be nice in that you could put it in bank and, you know, kind of use it for some retirement money. It's not enough to quit your job. It's not enough to change your attitude toward work.
I'm with you.
So you'd still have to be coming to work.
Ah, jeez.
Not that I wouldn't take it though.
What is today? What? Yeah.
It's Friday, not Wednesday.
Yeah. It's interesting here. Well, what happens when we multitask?
What are you doing that's interesting?
Oh, you know, and I'm sure a lot of people at 580KIDO can relate to this. Somebody yesterday came up to me and said, I'm still waiting for such and such. And, you know, when you're doing a new job, sometimes you're learning new things. And, you know, it's kind of like turning your mic on and off. And sometimes people that start this job, they forget to turn their microphone off and they leave it on. And people say, well, you know, I told you to turn it off. And somebody said, hey, I sent you something last week and you still haven't gotten back to me. And I'm looking at myself going, well, okay, well, I'm sorry about that, but you're a very important person. I would never do that deliberately. And then I got another email lighting me up about this, and they never sent me the thing originally.
You've totally lost me.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. That's why anyway. So that's really the big news of the day. Hillary Clinton going to be a grandmother. She's been called a lot of things, granny.
Yep.
What do you make of that?
Good for her. Congratulations. Hillary and Bill, Chelsea's having a baby, so good for them.
Yeah, but you just wonder about what that kid's going to look like.
Why?
I don't know, because have you seen pictures of Chelsea lately?
Yeah.
She really looks like her dad.
Yeah, a little bit.
I'm just saying, she really looks like her dad.
Yeah. What's your point?
Well, I'm just saying, I'm wondering what the kid will look like.
Probably a mixture of Chelsea and her husband.
I don't know, but I just looked at her the other day. I haven't seen her in a while. So congratulations to Hillary Clinton. She's been called a lot of things. Of course, we have that story at the 580KIDO Hot List site.
Mm-hmm.
Also, some stories that we've been talking about. What do you make of these internal IRS emails that, remember, a couple weeks ago, they said there was collusion between Elijah Cummings, the ranking Democrat in the House on, I think, the Oversight Committee, and the IRS going after conservative Tea Party groups. And now, confirmation that Lois Lerner was coordinating with the Department of Justice to see if they could prosecute people criminally for saying, I'm not involved in politics, and then giving a political contribution. I don't believe that was against the law or is against the law.
I think this whole thing runs a lot deeper than even we think. I think it's a pretty deep story of what's going on there.
It is, and then you take a look at where is the accountability, where is the justice of it all, and remember, you just sit back and you think to yourself, okay, well, how am I going to hold my government accountable when they get away with all this stuff? And if they can do it to a Tea Party group, they can do it to anybody.
Yeah, you know, anytime the government uses a branch of the government to put you in fear, that's not good.
Right, and it's just horrific when you take a look at that. So that's one thing that we are taking a look at here at 580KIDO. Now, have you been covering, did you hear the latest concerning current Heisman Trophy winner and Florida State quarterback Jameis Winston?
What's Jameis up to now?
Apparently, there are two things going on now. Now you have, I guess, confirmation that the university not the criminal investigation, but the university investigation into the rape allegation. And by the way, why do they call it sexual assault instead of rape? Have you noticed that?
I am going to guess that there's probably a legal definition, you know, that there's something legally, there's legalese involved to get the charges to stick. That's usually when you see changes in that. That's lawyers getting involved to make sure the charges can stick of what they're charged for.
Right. Well, here's the skinny on this. Apparently, the university dropped its investigation because you know how you have a code there as an athlete at Florida State, as you do in other institutions. Mm-hmm. And because Mr. Winston did not cooperate. So that's what they decided to do. They decided that they would stop their investigation because Mr. Winston decided not to answer any questions.
How wild is that? And how do you, as a responsible adult, go, oh, okay, well, he didn't want to answer, so we quit. That's just amazing to me. And to think you'd get away with that.
And here's the skinny. And God bless the New York Times. Unfortunately, they don't put this much effort into Benghazi, the IRS, or Fast and Furious or anything else. There, and we link to it at 580kido.com. There is a, pardon my French, folks, a damning story concerning the lack, the failed, flawed investigation, the criminal investigation concerning Jameis Winston. Apparently, the university president, a quarter of his salary is paid for by the boosters of the athletic program.
Hmm.
So he was not pushing for this. And the incestuous nature of the athletics, not only at Florida State but elsewhere, and they go down the list of how this investigation was just put on the back burner, and quite frankly, so Mr. Winston could win the Heisman. He seems like a nice kid, but on the other hand, come on, folks. You know, we're talking about a young lady here, and what I have an issue with in the sports media is that they start blaming the victim. Well, you know, these girls.
Oh, well, yes. I mean, that's immediately they're going to be blamed as gold diggers or as they were asking for it or blah, blah, blah. That seems to happen right away.
But how, you know, and Colin Kaepernick, he put himself, the young man put himself in that position, and these girls are going to do that. And look, I'm not saying that doesn't happen, but on the other hand, what happens if you have an innocent victim who is traumatized by this, and then you have everybody making threats at her, you have people going after her, the authorities sitting on their hands, but this story, again, not getting a lot of coverage, the New York Times just really blew it up concerning Jameis Winston.
Yeah, well, we'll see how much traction it gets, or if it gets again. They're just trying to destroy the program. I mean, that is a sad thing that there is that much power in college and or professional sports that they're willing to overlook serious issues because you're just trying to destroy the program. I mean, look what happened with Penn State, how long it took for that to all come unraveled.
Well, and that's what hurts when you have these apologists that want to sit back and say, well, you know, Joe was a good man. Joe was this, and Joe didn't deserve it. John Ziegler, at one time a famous talk show host, featured in a 20-page profile in The Atlantic. And you know, Dave, instead of getting a sentence in a book, getting a profile, cover story in The Atlantic, that's big. Did the documentary on Sarah Palin. Yes, I still collect baseball cards at home. However, that having been said, did a documentary about Sandusky and Paterno didn't know anything and Joe was a good boy. I'm sorry. When you, well, on one hand, a lot of good works by Joe and his wife at 580KIDO. On the other hand, let's face it, you have a responsibility. You've coached before, haven't you?
At a minor level, yeah.
Right. You've coached little kids or whatever. Mm-hmm. Okay. What's your perspective as a coach? What's your role as the coach?
Well, I think if you want to talk high school or college, you have a responsibility to the athlete and you have a responsibility to the parents of that said athlete.
Right.
When they're under your charge.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I mean, when you look at somebody else's kid, do you sit there and use and abuse them, or do you understand that you are the steward, you are there to protect them?
You're a steward.
Yeah, and whether it's big-time athletics, regardless of what it is, my goodness gracious, and Dave Burnett, I hope that I never have to do this in my life, but you, what is it, Mike McCreary or whatever his name is, he walks by, he sees Sandusky with that little boy, they're in the shower. I'm sorry, sometimes you have to be a man, and the job and everything else doesn't matter, and you have to do the right thing. And you have to keep doing the right thing, like the high school people did that busted Sandusky, regardless of the cost, because you look into the eyes of the little boy and say, that's not right.
Yeah, I mean, the thing we forget sometimes, especially with college students and athletes, they're kids. We watch them out on the field, and we equate it to men in the NFL. But when you get up next to them, they take their helmets off. They're kids. They are kids, and they are put in, the, you know, as a parent, if you have your child, you're sending them to whichever university, you're entrusting that child to the coaching staff to help guide them and grow them up at that point.
Right.
You know, so. But sometimes we look at the big money that's involved. You look at, you know, you look at Alabama, and I just use them because they make a lot of money at that college. In fact, they, I think Alabama makes more money than many professional teams that comes in. And but then people will want to protect, whether it's a, you know,
or Texas,
or Texas, or Virginia Tech, or a Boise State. You know, there's a lot of money that comes through there, and people want to protect the program, but you can't. You have to protect the students and the students that are affected by your athletes.
Right.
But, boy, that's a deep conversation suddenly for Friday morning.
It is, but I just go back to this Jameis Winston thing. Just crazy.
Yeah. Before, by the way, before I go to do traffic, I just want to, I would be remiss if not I said congratulations. Milford Terrell, of course, who has been on the State Board of Education, is resigning his position. He's going to take some time, more time for he and his wife. But to Milford Terrell, who's owner of the Best Plumbing, has been with the Board of Education for the state for quite a few years. So congratulations to Milford. Just wanted to get that in there.
Fair enough.
Traffic now as you're coming up.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays noon till 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning. You know, I was listening to Sean Hannity the other day, and it just sounded so good when he said this on the air. And yes, we can say it in Idaho. Yes, we can say it here at 580 KIDO. It is Holy Week. Today is Good Friday. And we've gotten away from this, unfortunately, in the past, but we are returning to our Matters of Faith program. So today we're going to be talking to local members of the faith community. And it's kind of an eclectic mix, which it usually is here. We will have our first 2 hours talking about God, faith, religion on this Good Friday, the day when Christ died for our sins. When Christ died for our sins. We will talk with members of the community. And then in the 8 o'clock hour, thanks to the diligent work of Ray Amaya, Boise Police Chief Mike Masterson will answer your phone calls on this Good Friday. Let's get you to work. Safety. 580 KIDO, Kevin Miller with you. Our friend Randy Jackson will join us. Do want to thank College of Western Idaho yesterday. Had a great time promoting our schools, securing our future. Thank you also to CapEd for sponsoring that program. We'll have the latest from Fox News on this Good Friday morning. Thank you all for joining us. We're just getting started. Stay with us.